SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Tampa Bay Downs. Tampa Bay Derby, and basically approaching a day out, and just an absolute pleasure to get the opportunity to have Andrew Dembski join us. And you know him better as Shades, a very carefully and cleverly crafted persona. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Really good to be on your show.
I learned a lot about you immediately the other day, and including that you're a Long Island native, which was news to me.
Yeah, I grew up Jones Beach area, Long Island, that's about 10 minutes on the parkway to Belmont. So Belmont was my home track growing up. It wasn't the first track I ever went to, though. It was Saratoga was the first track went to. Then I kind of asked my parents, well, we got a racetrack so close. This is awesome. Why are we not going there? So we just wound up going to Belmont a little more, and that's kind of where I caught the bug.
And you know, and I know that I know a little bit of the backstory too, because you went to Hofstra, broadcast journalism type background, and that was really your first foray. And you kind of started with some minor league baseball, and you had the racing interests that were, you know, were kind of laying in wait.
Yeah, that's just it. I did production work behind the scenes in minor league baseball. I worked for four different teams, I guess that's what it was. But eventually I wanted to try to get involved in horse racing, and I took a job. I was offered a job here, technical director behind the scenes, and I'm sitting in a TV room. I'm at a racetrack finally, and I can't watch a live horse race. I'm just watching screens. And I said, we got to do something to change this so I can see the horses. So I took a shot. Margo gave me an opportunity. Margo did it for so many years, the on-air analysis. It gave me a chance. And at the end of my first season, filling in for her a few times, she said, you know what? You want to do it next year? And now it's, 5 years later. So it's been a nice ride so far.
And you also, of course, folded in the work up at Canterbury.
Yeah, I was a technical director up there for one season. I did a few on-air appearances there as well. And that was actually the summer before I came down here, my first winter season full-time on-air here. And, man, I love Canterbury, too. They got some cool racing up there.
Well, and I referenced this morning that not only, you know, were you doing that work broadcast days, you also put together a series of wonderful – I mean, just and it's too bad that you ended up with other obligations, because the work that you did on the connections is exceptional, and they were succinct tie-ins of individual horses and gave immediate biographies, basically, of rider, owner, and trainer. In some cases, the barn staff, 5 to 7 minute vignettes that were really terrific.
I appreciate you even knowing that exists. I think it kind of got lost. I did it 5 years ago now, and I did it on my own time. Just something to fill my days. And like you said, now it's just hard to, because those do take time. They're very documentary oriented series, and it's a lot of shooting and looking through footage and picking out the best when you're piecing it together. And it's still available. I mean, anyone who wants to check out the connections.
We'll send the link on YouTube.
Okay, great. Yeah, I mean, they're still there. And yeah, what was nice about putting that together was, first of all, you get to know a lot of people. Well, you get, on the backside, you get to kind of learn the life of it, what goes on every day day in, day out, in terms of getting a horse ready for the races. But I was also able to spotlight some smaller barns, which I think is kind of important. A lot of people look at horse racing and right away they go, oh yeah, horse racing, Bob Baffert. Well, sort of. But there's a lot more that goes on. There's a lot of traders who have 5-6 horses in their barn and they make a living off of that. And those are the kind of barns I was able to kind of highlight in that series, people with smaller strings. And it's really nice to get to know those people. Those are, that's their lifestyle. And it's really cool to, get to check them out. And you can check them out online. Check out the series.
It's interesting, too, because I know that you hit on a couple of people that we've had on when they've had nice horses that kind of bubble to the surface. Valerie Lund, who from Arizona and does a tremendous job. Bernal Roan, another that whenever he's, you know, he's had, and he seems to get a big horse every 3 to 5 years. He crafts one, and you document them, and it's great. In fact, the one with Roan I mentioned earlier. Channing Hill riding for father-in-law Wayne Catalano. You've got that piece with Roan and son-in-law Dean Butler, who's a Saratoga native. And that was terrific. Some people might not even realize that Butler and Roan are tied in that way.
Yeah, of course. I had a really good time working with Valerie Lund. She was phenomenal to work with. Let me do whatever I wanted in her barn. She's on a horse every day, poning her horses out to the track in the morning. She works so hard, and she's done it for so, she's got some nice horses too in Arizona, which is pretty cool. And then of course the Bernie Roan Dean Butler piece. Right now, actually, Dino, he was just inducted to the Canterbury Hall of Fame last summer. So now they're, you know, Bernie is a Canterbury Hall of Fame trainer. Now Dino's a Hall of Fame rider up there in Minnesota. They are tremendous to work with. Great family. Leanne Roan was galloping horses. They got great kids. It's a ton of fun to work with, you know, a family in horse racing. And there's a ton of them out there. But to be able to hang out with one for a couple of weeks and put a little piece together, pretty cool. Pretty cool story.
Well, speaking of families in horse racing, when I put up the picture of you in the background, one of the first families of Florida racing, the Millers and Penelope, making the scene for ABR. And of course, when I first came here, you were working here, right?
I was.
How long?
6.5 years.
How about that?
Great track. Loved it.
Absolutely. And I can remember. I can remember meeting Penelope's dad and you, actually, at Belmont originally.
That's right.
A long, long time ago. Exactly.
And Tampa Bay Downs, you know, you know it's a good racetrack when you can work here for almost 7 years and you still love it desperately. I mean, I'm back for only the second time this year, and it feels like coming home. I can't tell you how much I really love it here.
It's great. It's as pleasant as can be, and the atmosphere here tomorrow will really crackle. They throng the joint, no doubt.
Absolutely, and they're doing an umbrella giveaway, too.
I saw the umbrella.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's the mother of all umbrellas.
Well, I keep lending them out to friends in New York when it's snowing, so I really need one. I'm gonna have to spin for it.
All right. Well, there you go. the Saratoga reference, spinning. I love it. Always great to see Penelope and the ABR team, and I'm sure you'll be spewing out photos and all the nice materials.
Oh, absolutely. I'm uploading a photo of Mouse, the mascot here, the miniature horse, as we speak.
I love it. I love it. Outstanding. Well, always great to see Penelope. Andrew, let's get to some thoughts about this card and, you know, really the highlight of the season, Tampa, and it's been a good season. We end up, as always, with, you know, some of the horses that made their way from the Pasco and the Sam Davis and now here, and then you get the Invaders, and it's the typical mix and match group that has come together the last several years for Tampa Bay Derbies.
Yeah, that's what's so cool about Tampa. Is you have so many top barns just in South Florida who ship up some really nice horses year after year for our big races, and not just for our big races. As I was commenting to Penelope before I hopped on with you, I said, man, some of the maiden races tomorrow blow my mind. I mean, just well-bred horses showing up, and man, I'm looking forward to the entire card tomorrow. People should be excited, as I am, for the all-stakes pick five, the all-stakes pick four tomorrow. Having said that, the first half of the card is pretty darn solid as well.
Well, and it's funny because both here and at Turfway, the slates are very similar with, you know, big multi-stake race cards and then filled out with maiden specials. Most of the rest of the Turfway is maiden special action as well, and makes for really a start to finish, you know, really compelling cards, as opposed to you know, starting out with the 62 fives and so forth. In fact, the Derby itself, let's start there, and we'll work our way backward and hit some highlights. Have your impressions of how this unfolds.
Yeah, it should be a pretty tremendous race tomorrow. We don't have, you know, you kind of hope, you have a handful of horses. We hope every year that kind of take the progression, whether it be Pasco, Sam F. Davis, into the Lamb Home South, Tampa Bay Derby. This year we only have the two horses, the winner of the Pasco Win-Win-Win, who I think will be the favorite tomorrow in the Lamb Home South, Tampa Bay Derby. And then you have Well Defined, of course, who went Gate to Wire in the Sam F. Davis. Those are the only two really who took the path through Tampa. And then you have so many Invaders. I'm not the only two who took the path through Tampa. We have some other local horses as well. Having said that, those are the two that run through the stakes here. But you have Todd Pletcher sending one in who might actually be a price tomorrow with Outshy, which is scary. Actually, Todd Pletcher and Joel Rosario haven't lost here when they've teamed up in Tampa, which is kind of fascinating. So
yeah.
Interesting to see Joel Rosario get the call. Don't blame him for putting him on. They haven't lost together. I think Win-Win-Win will be the favorite, but as a horse player, I have to try to beat Win-Win-Win, and I'm not going to get too creative. I do like Dream Maker. I think Dream Maker might finally be rounding into the form they kind of hoped that he would show. Yep. After breaking his maiden on debut. His win at Fairgrounds was tremendous. I love horses that draw away so easily the way he did that day. And you know what? He is, not that there aren't too many, there are several in here who are or who have run well at two turns, but he's the one who's been most impressive around two turns. And when Win-Win-Win, a horse who hasn't gone two turns, is going to be the favorite, I'll try to beat you every time. So I'm kind of hoping Dream Maker puts on a show for us tomorrow.
Hey, what do you see from Well Defined? And you know, we just talked with Jay Pridman, actually, and Jay talked about the pace scenario, and you look to the outside, you gotta assume that all the horses, and I think there's five that are making transition to two turns from one turn, although some are coming out of elongated one turn sprints, you know, like Zenden, 7 furlongs, and Tacitus coming out from the one turn mile when last seen in November when he broke his maiden at Aqueduct. You mentioned, of course, Win-Win-Win we're thinking about. The Right Path is moving from 7 furlongs as well. Outshine is moving from 7 furlongs. It's interesting, the other five horses inside of Outshine, the 1 through 5, are all coming out of routes. And so the speed from the outside with the not, you know, it's a decent stretch to the turn. But you do get the sense that with all those horses making transitions, you'll get a spirited pace early.
And for the most part, you want to be close to the pace. So that's not going to be the worst idea to settle into a good spot up close. Having said that, I think horses like Dream Maker, even Win-Win-Win, even though he's stretching out, I think they want to come from off the pace, but they won't be too far out of it, which is good to see. What's interesting in terms of the pace scenario, because you have the stretch out horses, and you think somebody's going to try to go, Well Defined with a local rider, Pablo Morales, is really intriguing, because Pablo knows the horse only knows one way to go, and that's to the front. And he absolutely stole the Sam F. Davis. Nobody thought he was going to do that. I didn't think he was going to do that. I don't know how many tickets I had without him on it. You know, it was just, yep. It wasn't even a thought in my mind. But sometimes, and I, you know, being here at Tampa for 6 years now, of course I'm always pulling for the local teams. I can't help it. But sometimes that happens. You get a lot of, take nothing away from their stardom and their success in their careers, but you have a lot of these big money jockeys show up. And all of a sudden, you have the local rider with the local knowledge, where I want to be on the track, and they pull the upset. And that could happen again. I mean, if all of a sudden you say, well, I got a stretch out horse, but I want to take this horse back, or I want to be able to settle, and all of a sudden nobody's going, which is a legitimate possibility. You kind of outthink yourself sometimes out there. Pablo knows what to do. So Well-Defined, man, he got a good number. He could do it again.
Well, and you know, Kathleen O'Connell did not get swayed from her confidence in Well-Defined. And we first started talking to her about him last fall, and she had tremendous confidence. And, of course, things went wrong pretty quickly in the juvenile. That becomes a throwout. You know, the performance that was surprising and disappointing was the Mucho Macho Man. And from that point, for him to run the race he did at in the Sam Davis, that's you know, that's why he was 7-1 in that spot. So I never have a problem when Kathleen O'Connell does well. Let's work backward from the feature, and the Florida Oaks came up very good. And you've got horses invading, and particularly a couple that, when you look at Concrete Rose, a horse that we got to know with Rusty last fall as well, seasonal debut from Stellar Agent for Jorge Abreu, and you know, then the return to Tampa by Chad Brown with Peter Brandt's Blowout. There's a lot going on in here.
Yeah, it's an interesting race. There's only two horses making their seasonal debuts in here. One of them is Concrete Rose, and you know, if she's ready, there's no newspaper of record here. She should be just fine. I can't see, and I'll probably botch her name, the inside horse, Lefebvre. Okay, Lefebvre. Okay. I can't see her going off at 5-1. She's 5-1 on the line. I have her picked on top. She ran into a bit special in her North American debut, and a bit special is exactly that. I mean, I think she's a neck away from perfection in seven starts. She's almost unstoppable. And first start in the States for Chad Brown, we have Yrott Ortiz. I don't see the horse going off at 5-1. I do see the horse in the winner's circle. So that's going to be my play in the Florida Oaks. I think she's going to be a really nice horse going forward. But take nothing away from this field. This is a pretty stellar field. So many horses coming off wins. The undefeated Winter Sunset in here is intriguing. I don't like the fact that she only beat home four rivals last time, but I do like the fact that she beat home 10 in debut from the rail. That is intimidating when you take on a big field from the inside on debut, and man, did she put him away early. So she could be a rocket ship, and I love the fact she came off the pace last time, so I do think she's intriguing. Tactical speed, can do whatever she wants out there, and you know what? Channing Hill, he's having a pretty good season this year, so I do think it's an intriguing horse. And we'll see where the money falls, Steve. I mean, you got that horse at 6-1 undefeated. Like I said, Chad Brown's horse is 5-1. Second start for Chad Brown. It's the kind of feel where this is kind of, as a horse player, I think where you make your money in the all stakes pick five.
Well, and I brought up the Phillips Homebred. Kind of discovered her a little bit late, her presence in here last night when I was going through, and I think she's got to be used prominently. The family, that's a family that's always been good to me, with the memories of Silver and just everything that's come out from the Phillips family, the Darby Dan team, and I didn't expect to, you know, to be obliged, but it's 6-1, and she'll be every bit, I think, of 6-1.
You're probably right. Only because people are going to see
the Chad
Browns
and Concrete Rose,
exactly,
and Stellar Agent.
Rusty Arnold. They're going to see a Grand Motion, and they're going to say, "Oh yeah, those are the ones we're going to play." And then when the undefeated horse wins at 6-1, everyone's going to be kicking themselves.
Perhaps. We got Hawksmore, and she, of course, a winner here in the Endeavor in her first try for Arno Delacour, and this Leal product, the six-year-old mare, her last career start. It would be storybook, but she's got a pair of major players from Chad Brown to deal with, and I think she's going to have to deal with Viva Vegas as well.
Viva Vegas is one of the more intriguing horses. They've had, they've always kept her a tremendous company, and for a local connection, I do like Viva Vegas. I think everyone's kind of pulling for Hawksmore, and to be honest, so am I. I mean, Arno is just such a down-to-earth person. He does such a good job with his horses. Probably the most patient person in terms of bringing horses back ready, fit, to go. He's just such a tremendous trainer, and you know, all the success he's had so far in the last couple of years, he's picked up some really nice horses. It's all well deserved. So I think Hawksmore, you know, my heart, I'd like to see that horse go out a winner. But you are right. This is interesting with Rimska in here. And then you have those two absolute question mark horses in what I think we're going to call the other Chad Brown. I don't know. Because I just don't know how the money's going to fall. So maybe it won't be the other Chad Brown. But On the Moon Again, coming off the layoff. Who knows? She got a 102 buyer in New York that jumps off the paper. And then what about the outside horse? Goodyear for the Roses. Second start off, I don't know, a year and a half. I don't know. I can't do the math. And you know what? Didn't run too poorly in the Endeavor. Impossibly Wide Trip. I can't love the post. But you know what? If we can work out the trip this time, it has to be tighter after that race.
Yeah.
Who knows? That price might hold up 8-1. And look at the horses she's maintained company with a couple of years ago.
Yep.
Tremendous company line. So good year for the Roses. Very intriguing, lightly raced 7-year-old.
And it's funny because when we talked about this race, or the Endeavor anyway, with I think with Nick last month, it came up, and he talked about Brian House and what a terrific conditioner he is. He's not a name immediately familiar to East Coast players, but Brian House knows how to win. You got the two smaller stakes that lead off the pick five. Quick thoughts, because I do want you to come up with an opinion or two in the maiden races, but quick thoughts on the Columbia and the Challenger.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was sitting with our Spanish language analyst last night looking at the Challenger, Luis Acacio, and I think we just overthought it. I mean, you can get that way sometimes in races. And at the end of the day, we just keep coming back to Flame Away. And I think the most intriguing part of Flame Away is what he did here in the Tampa Bay Derby. And when he had a bad start, he still passed horses because the race is loaded top to bottom with speed. To the point where, you know, it's who's going to make the lead. Can Flame Away get hooked? And will that cost Flame Away? Well, I don't think he's going to make the lead. And I think that works out in his favor. So I can't get off Flame Away. I tried to beat him last night, and I couldn't manage it. So Flame Away for me in the Challenger.
And in the Columbia, we talked last night. Marty and I had dinner with the Trombettas, and I asked Mike about Global Access, who went into the allowance at Gulfstream, Mike expecting her to him to really take to it, and he did not run well. And Mike's got a couple of excuses there, but you got a lot of options. How about Proliferate, Cassie and Grossberg, and Chad Brown brings back a horse somewhat similar to Blowout that he sent over cross state for the debut win. Digital Age for Seth Klarman, an Invincible Spirit, one of the horses that Chad and Seth bought abroad at the sale. And Jerome Avenue for Kimmel, I think, deserves a long look.
Yeah, I agree. This is an incredibly tough race. I gave a slight edge to Bluegrass Parkway in here. I think the horse had excuses in his last two. But I tell you what, because I'm such a big replay guy, and I think you should be with today's technology, there's no reason why you're not watching replays as a handicapper. Chad Brown's Digital Age, while the horse only beat a so-so field of maidens, could not have had a worse trip. I mean, everything that could go wrong went wrong. Absolutely. And all the comment line says is off, slow, steady. It doesn't say how many times it checked and how wide it was throughout the entire race. Impossible. You cannot win from where Digital Age won. And the way he won in the end, my goodness, that was impressive. And you know what? You get a Rod Ortiz, and it might offer value, and that horse could have a really bright future.
There are your stakes action. There is an all-stakes pick five that we just encompassed. The Columbia, the Challenger, the Hillsborough, the Florida Oaks, and the Tampa Bay Derby. And, of course, the Florida Oaks and the Tampa Bay Derby combined with the Gotham and the Busher and the Honeybee for the cross-country pick five. And these races that we're talking about, the late races, will be on the Fox Sports 2 telecast tomorrow as well, 4:30 to 7. Horse or two, Andrew, to give everybody something to build a bankroll early on the card among those maiden races.
Yeah, races 2 and 3 are maiden specials, and they're both pretty nice. I'm actually going to play a little double with both Owen Hardys in race 2. Journeyman, who might go favored in that field. I thought the debut was okay. Comes out of a monster race, just way too fast. The stretch out's going to help that horse. And Owen Hardy, generally, he's about 1 for a million with first-time starters, so I don't mind a horse getting beat on debut. But even the outside horse, Peppermint Crunch, I think jumps way up. So I'm going to use both Owen Hardys into a horse named Stamp, a filly for Ben Colebrook in race number 3. Rod Ortiz gets the call off the bench. Comes out of a stellar field at Ellis Park. A couple of next out winners already. I'm hoping Stamp will be another next start winner. So there's my early double, hoping to build a decent bankroll into that all stakes pick five.
So 1-9 with two, there you go. Punch it a few times. Andrew, thanks so much. A real pleasure, and we'll look forward to, we do some things with Presque Isle, so we'll catch up with you in Erie.
Yeah, sounds good. Always a pleasure.
Andrew Dembski, everybody. Shades on Racing on Twitter, and one of the bright faces among, 28? How old are you? 32. All right. Not so young. Okay. Now, he's still young, obviously. We'll stay right here. And I told you it was going to be the last break at the top of the hour when we finish with Jay Pribman, because Dave Grenig, we've had one DRF star each hour, and Dave Grenig joins us ahead of the Gotham Day card. Dave, good morning.
I'm sorry. Who is this again?
Okay. All right. You're the one who's...
I called it. When we talked in December, I said, won't hear from you. Well, actually, I was a little off. I think I said Wood, and you said maybe. You said the Gotham. So you wanted it.
I think I did reach out to you once or twice between the January 1st and now, and you said, "Really, you really need me, you really want me."
I do recall that was one time we did that.
All right, well, it's great to connect, Dave, and we're looking forward to that action tomorrow. We've kind of looked at it from several standpoints, and I'll start the same way with you. The Gotham, this really was the beneficiary of West Coast Invaders before things went awry at Santa Anita. Instagram's presence, particularly, some thoughts about the Gotham.
Yeah, look, Instagram was dynamic in his two races last summer, and then as quickly as he rose to prominence, he went away, and doesn't sound like they had a real like physical issue that they had to put him away for. It's just the owner's prerogative, and they brought him back, late fall, got him started. I thought they would probably try to get him to the San Vicente, 7 furlongs out there, and I guess they tried, and he just wasn't quite ready. So this became really, I know there was a lot of talk about the San Felipe, but even before the races, the whole cancellation thing. But to come back in a 1/16 two-turn race against two of the best, or the two top 3-year-olds and game winner and improbable, probably didn't make a lot of sense. So this became a very logical spot for this horse to come. But it's not easy. I mean, a one-turn mile, there's so many different things. I'm very interested to see how the track is going to play today. I know we only have about 40 horses left to run after scratches, but this track was really slow last week and a few days the week before. And, it's a totally different ball game for Instagram. He's used to fast California tracks, and maybe he's this good, but he's going to have to be really good to win this race tomorrow, I think.
And go through the field. Mind control has been very judiciously handled by Greg Sacco. You've got K-Nix Go coming back to New York for Ben Colebrook, and give us some feel for who else you've been tracking the foot story that's plagued. Not That Brady, Tick Van Flew, purchased in by Sal Kumin, latest couple of acquisitions. Some thoughts about the rest of the field.
Yeah, everyone's going to look at this as a Derby prep. Just look at it as a one-mile race, forgetting the Derby factor in it. And in the end, this is what some of these horses probably going to end up being best at.
Right.
And Mind Control is already a grade one winner at one turn with a hopeful last year. His race in the Jerome was solid off the poor performance or poor finish in the juvenile. When it's all said and done, I think Mind Control, if you're going to hear about Mind Control in big races this year, I think it's going to be in races like this and the Woody Stevens and the King and the Alan Jerkins is what I think is going to suit him best. I understand try to get to the Derby because you only get really you don't get all that many opportunities at it. And same with High Cal. I think High Cal is a horse that's going to be, he's an interesting horse in here to me, because is he just doing what he needs to win? Like, can he raise his game when he's facing better company? And he could get a scenario here where it sets up for a horse from off the pace. And he showed in the Jimmy Wingfield, he certainly has no problems going through on the inside. And I think 7/8 to a mile is probably going to be what he's going to want to do best. Much better, probably the same thing. I think Baffert picked this race out because he thinks that this will be his one-turn type horse for the future. you know, I know he's nominated for the Triple Crown, but I don't know that he's actually got Triple Crown aspirations with this horse. And Tickvin Flew, maybe the same thing. Not that Brady. He's already a two-time winner at a mile and one second-place finish. And he ran very gamely in the Withers. But again, I think that he'll prove to be best when it, you know, once the Triple Crown trail is done. I think these horses will be proving best at the one turn. You might, you know, this race might produce a Dwyer winner. I don't know.
There you go. That's I think the right, you know, the right approach, the right assessment here. And you got officially a pick for this?
To me, it's either Instagram or anybody, and I can't just a handicapping. You know, the obstacles that face Instagram. I'll let him beat me at even money or less, and I'll take a chance with High Cal. Just you know, because I think Mind Control with Johnny V up is going to be on the lead. You know, it's going to be forwardly placed. Instagram's going to be forwardly placed. Not that Brady's going to be forwardly placed. I just think that if, you know, Instagram could fight off one and two, and you know, is it going to fight off everybody? Nick's Go is going to be forwardly placed. I'll take a closer and I'll take High Cal. I don't know what price I'll eventually go off at, but I think he might be offer a little bit of value in this spot.
Well, the Gotham, along with the Busher, gets things going, tied to the races in Tampa, the Boys and Girls events, and the Honeybee at Oaklawn for the Cross Country Pick 5. And you better be pretty clever putting these tickets together, I think. This is a as good a five-pack for the Cross Country Pick 5 as we've seen yet, Dave. The Busher, and what a nice group this turned into.
It's a solid group here. I agree. I think there's some nice horses in here. Probably, you know, will they be the best of the group? Is there an Oaks filly in here? I'm probably going to say no, but, you know, there's other races other than Kentucky Oaks, and I think there's some nice, I think there's some talented runners in here, and I'm looking at the New York Bred Espresso Shot. They tried her on the grass. She didn't really love that. She's solid on the dirt. I liked her race in the Eastview. I know that was against New York Breds, but some of those horses have come back to win. She went to Florida, got her training in down there, didn't miss anything, got back up here in time to get a breeze over the track. And I think, you know, you're not going to have too much more time to get prices on Jorge Abreu. So you might as well, you know, start now and keep it up now. So I'll try Espresso Shot in here. Oxy Lady, I don't know what to make of Oxy Lady. She emerged from the fog. Maybe she was Rosie Ruiz that day, just jumped in at the gatepole and didn't finish up because nobody could see the race. And she won by five, but since then it hasn't gone her way. Maybe, you know, Jack Sisterson, he said that, you know, he was fooled a little bit by her in terms of going into the Rachel Alexandra stakes down at Fairgrounds. He thought the way she was working, maybe she was fitter than she was. So maybe that race got her fit. So maybe she's ready for this. Todd Pletcher has a couple of interesting runners in here. They were both drawn outside. Always Shopping, who I thought he was going to keep at the two turns. And I know he's trying to get her to the Gazelle. But I think he just wanted a race in between this spot. And he basically said to me, look, if the track's as slow as it was before, it might play like a mile in eighth race, and she'll do what, you know, and that might fit her. But Aura Moore from Florida off two decent sprint races. The number came up a little on the light side in that allowance win that she won by nearly eight. But his, you know, to him, you know, the visual indicated that maybe it was a bit better than the number came up. So maybe she's really good. Maybe she'll want to stretch out to the one-turn mile. And then you have the Mid-Atlantic horses, Please Flatter Me, who's done zero wrong. She's won her three races impressively for Mark Reed. And Ujjayi for Aaron McClellan, who's, the only filly that has beaten Ujjayi was Please Flatter Me. And she came here, won the Ruthless, got this filly back in early. She was here over the weekend. She was going to breeze on Tuesday, and I guess she just did a two-minute lick type thing. But both fillies have been here a few days to get used to what, you know, these trainers see as a deeper track. And again, we'll see if this track's still that way today when we get started in about an hour.
Very good. And the first two legs of the All-Stake Pick 4, the Tom Fool, and we got really a interesting cast here too, because Skyler Scramjet trying to win it again, and Bavaro and Syndergaard have reemerged at this point in their careers. What's your play in the Fool?
Yeah, I looked at this race a few times and thought, you know, trying to make a case for some of these other horses. I think I just keep coming back to Skyler Scramjet. When you look at her record at six furlongs at Aqueduct, she's almost unbeaten. I think he lost the Gravesend by a head to Recruiting Ready, who everyone saw last week, you know, step up and win a graded stakes at Gulfstream Park. So when you look at that, so Skylar Scram gets me. I think I could make cases for other ones, but I think I'm reaching in part. Syndergaard is a little bit of a concern, only because, to my maybe singling Skylar Scram, just because he's run dynamic. His last two races have been, you know, even better than when he was at two and running all those good races. I just wonder, can he do that again? And Bavaro, I'm expecting a regression in Bavaro, not necessarily a step forward. So I think I'll just stand with Skylar Scramjet. If I was trying to beat those other two, maybe I'd use Duchere getting back to Aqueduct. But the more I look at it, the more I think it's Skylar Scramjet's race. The Stymie, this is interesting, a race. And I stand the man. Can he keep moving forward? If he can, I think he wins. Just look what he's done over the last year. 5-for-7 over the last year with a narrow loss in a starter allowance race in April. And then the Cigar Mile, where she was 6th, beaten 5 lengths at 50-1. But he actually ran pretty well that race. He had a bit of a stumble at the start. And, I think it cost him position. And I don't think he has to have the lead, because I think maybe California Knight. I think he sits off California Knight and gets first run on everybody else. And then, Sonny Ridge is just as honest as they come. He always gives you an honest effort. So I would probably just stand the man and Sonny Ridge. I don't know what to do with Dino Rosso. He won the Wood here. He's 2-for-2 here. I think I don't think they're searching, but they're bringing him out to see what he can do. And if he runs like he did in the Wood, then I guess he wins. But I'm not sure. I'm not sold yet.
And I don't, talked earlier with Nick Tamro. It doesn't necessarily get the kind of pace setup that he might need.
Right. And he's been running long most of his career, with the exception of his first start when he broke his maiden first obstacle at 7/8 tier, and in what I think came up to be just an okay race. I don't know that any stars came out of that race. So he has proven that he can do it. And he's, again, he's got 3 career wins, 2 of them are at Aqueduct, so you got to respect that, respect the connections. But I just think, I think Sonny Ridge and Stan the Man is just in raging form right now. And I like those. I prefer those two over Dino Rosso.
Well, and Dave, I saw where you snapped a picture of Instagram doing a little bit of gate work, some gate schooling. You noted quite cold, and it's been cold in New York. What's the forecast tomorrow?
Actually, we're in good shape. I mean, it was cold yesterday. It was a bit warmer today. I think we're in the 30s today. I think we hit the 40s tomorrow, nice. Dry track tomorrow. And then Sunday we're supposed to get 50s, but we're supposed to rain. And just for those who, we play we like to play a little game here at NYRA called post-time roulette. So let's just review for everybody the 3 days of racing and 3 post-times. So today is 12:50, tomorrow is 12:20, and Sunday, sleep in. You won't necessarily have to lose your hour of sleep. You can regain it because we don't start till 1:30. So let's review 12:50, 12:20, 1:30. There'll be a quiz later.
That is funny that I don't really – yeah, I don't – that's – that's the pans making those calls, right? What I don't get it. It's very strange. Moving target.
I think he's got some California buddies out there that say, "Look, I got to work, or I like to sleep. Can we do some later? Can you make post time a little bit later?" And now that we turn the clocks ahead, and the post or sunset is like after 6 o'clock, we can start at 1:30. I believe. With probable exception on Wood Memorial Day, when we'll probably run a dozen races. I think from Sunday through the end of Aqueduct is going to be 1:30 post, I believe.
Very good. Well, nice day of racing. And between the Fox Sports 2 show and the Cross Country Pick 5, lots of great action. Dave, as always, very appreciative. We will see you. I will see you at Gulfstream in about 10 days.
Okay, I'll be there probably a little bit longer. I'll probably be there. It'll probably be about 20 days till I'm there, but we'll
okay. Out. I'll see you that week, absolutely. And Dave Grenig, everybody, DRF Grenig, and the action tomorrow at Aqueduct, and the All-Stakes Pick 4 starts at 4:06 Eastern, and your Gotham post is 5:09. Part of the, as we've said, tried to really, I'm going to put a ticket together and we'll take a shot. I mentioned yesterday, that's the last really nice ticket I've cashed, going back a month at this point for that, that we were in Vegas, and the Cross Country Pick 5 that, I'm just looking at the times, 4:50 for, yeah, so the first leg is the Florida Oaks, then the Gotham, then the Tampa Bay Derby, the Busher, and finally we go to the Honeybee at Oakland, and maybe we'll get an opinion from James Scully on the Honeybee to help us there. I thought it was pretty tough, so... we'll see what. Nope, that's not good, Casey. Casey telling me little voicemail on Scully, and I don't know what else has Scully got to do. Take an early lunch? Oh, James, come on! They're waiting. They're waiting for Scully. Oh, that's not right. That's not right. All right, give him one more shot. Since I mentioned Oaklawn, you know, the race that I haven't discussed in at all in depth was, other than, you know, mentioning the field yesterday, the Hot Springs leading into the Count Fleet. And okay, yeah, Whitmore, obviously the horse to beat. He's 6-for-9 and he's never been off the board at Oaklawn, and that's all well and good, but gotta mention, Share the Upside, Asmussen for John Secura and Partners, Share the Upside, the McLean's Music Gelding. He is right in range. Here's Scully. He's in range now, too. We got 4 minutes, so you got to be super efficient. And first and foremost, future wager, any plays, James?
You know, I may get down a bet on Country House. I think he's going to be a huge shot, and, you know, we'll see. He's got a chance to take a step forward in that Louisiana Derby, so I'm a little intrigued by him. But I'm going to keep an eye on the board and make a more definitive judgment on others this weekend.
Any of the fillies?
Well, yeah, same thing. I haven't really looked at them closely. We do have a great promotion at Twin Spires, Oaks Future Wager, second place bonus. You bet $5 on any of the fillies, and for the contest purposes, first bet horse you bet is the one you get. And if she runs second, if she wins, you just collect on your future wager. If she runs second, we'll pay you up to 20-1 for a five, up to $5 for your $5 wager, for your $5 wager. So, for example, if you bet Wonder Cadeau last year, you got 105 back when she ran second to Monomoy Girl.
Well, nice little consolation. And speaking of promotions and things going on, tell everybody quickly about the Bad Luck Board.
We got a Bad Luck Board. One every week, we're going to review a race from the previous weekend, pick out a race where a horse had a bad trip, bad unfortunate circumstances, etc. We pick that horse, and you bet that horse to win. We're going to give you the win payout. So, yeah, check that out. They'll release that horse from the previous weekend's races every Monday on twinspires.com, on the social media channels, et cetera. Also, I'll mention we have $50,000 Road to the Kentucky Derby Challenge. It starts this weekend. We're giving away $50,000 in cash. You bet $15 to win on the prep races over the next 6 weeks. You get the shares equal to the amount of Derby points those horses earn if they hit the board.
And that's been a very popular. Everybody loves it. And, of course, we should also note, because now people are going to be looking for it, James, you've now given out two last-minute Friday pops. So
you're counting on it. I didn't come prepared on that today.
All right, no problem. All right. Can't do it for him, you know, every single week. Well, let's get some quick opinions. We've got about 2 minutes.
Yeah, sure. You know, in the Tampa Bay Derby, a lot of people talking a lot of pace in there, but Zenden to me is so key. If he doesn't break or he gets caught wide, it settles into second. Well-defined could be cleared. He's got the, pardon the pun, but, you know, his role is well-defined. He's gunning from the gate, and you know, he's a horse you have to use him for multi-race. But I look at it, all three of the top contenders in there have a chance. I'm intrigued by the Right Path. I'm going to pick him as an upset pick in there. Quality Road Colt. You know, his unraced Bernardini mare, Dam is a half to Fed Biz. It's a family of Johannesburg, Tail the Cat. I think a mile to 16th, perfect distance. And the thing about it was he was a sharp debut maiden winner last year on Breeders' Cup Saturday. Last time he raced in spots. I thought he was really getting it together late when he got steadied and interfered with, but he really finished well under the wire. I think he's got a chance at least at the board, and I'm going to pick him to win. Gotham, I like Instagram. You know, my thought process in there is he's a real talent. If one per mile will be up his alley, he can win, sit right off the speed and win. I'm going to play $220 exactus. I'm playing Tikvin Flew, who was against the bias last time. You know, Hackle has played inside trips. I don't think he's going to get that call. And the other one is the longest shot on the board, Family Biz. I'm playing 6-1, 6-8, $20 exactus. Family Biz ran third in the Jerome Sharp Maiden winner. Last two races, has valid excuses. He's going to get all kinds of pace in there. And then in the Jeff Ruby Stakes, you know, the horse to beat clearly is the favorite, but I'm going to go with the Delcourt's horse, Wire to Wire, number 3, 5-star general.
Interesting. All right. And did you happen to look at the Honey Bee?
I did not look at the Honey Bee. I do like, you know, Zipdo in the Animal Kingdom. That starts in all stakes pick 4. So Zipdo for Mike Maker in the Animal Kingdom.
Yep, there's your last second horse, folks.
All right.
Zipdo, 8-1, the 5 horse in the 6th race. James Scully, I appreciate it, and we're all thinking about the DeRosas and Eddie 3.
Yeah, I thought the prayer to Ed. Talked to him yesterday, and they're optimistic. So thanks, Steve.
Excellent.
Appreciate it.
All right, I appreciate it very much. James Scully and Dave Grenig and Shades, Andrew Dembski, a little cameo from Penelope Ann Miller, Jay Privman, Hammer, cameo from Jimmy Ventura, Marty McGee, and Tam. 1215, Nick Tamaro. Thanks, everybody. Looking forward to a terrific day here. Good luck today if you're playing. HRRN coverage tomorrow, and then in the morning, and then later. They got coverage today at 3 o'clock as well. We'll come to you from Ocala for the recap on Monday, then Ocala for the sale Tuesday, and then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at the HBPA convention. A lot of fun things going on, and wish you all the luck you can get, and we'll write up a bunch of races for tomorrow. Thanks, everybody.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.